Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, so I'm Virgie Rodriguez, and we're here with A Race of Your Own, where we talk about how inspiration leads to resilience. And today's guest is an Emmy-nominated choreographer. He's an actor and creative director. He is the governor, one of the governors over at the Television Academy. He was a lead actor in the Hallmark Christmas film called A Majestic Christmas. He played the role of Ricky on the former Logo Viacom television series Noah's Ark. He has toured and performed with numerous artists, including Madonna, Gloria Estefan, Prince, Ricky Martin, and Britney Spears. He also choreographed a Netflix biopic of Madam C.J. Walker, starring Octavia Spencer, entitled Self-Made. And he's appeared as an actor on TV shows like ABC family miniseries called Fallen, Fringe, Continuum, Smallville, Center Stage, Turn It Up, and The Power. Welcome, Christian Vincent.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for making some time, Christian.
Yeah, thanks for
having me. I appreciate it. Yeah. You are one busy individual.
Mm-hmm.
And
I try, yeah.
You try to be, right? Uh-huh. I mean, sure, why not? You know, we've known each other for years. And I think to say that you have had one of those careers that's really transcended time, right? You've been able to go from being a dancer to being an actor, mm-hmm. to, you know, you've worked as a choreographer as well, but, you know, and have kind of maintained this balanced career, at least, you know, kind of that's what it looks like from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. And you were also nominated, which I didn't put it on here, for the first scripted nomination for BET for choreography, which was for a show called The Porter,
yep.
Right? Where do we start? How do you keep it all together?
I think it's just, am I keeping it together? I don't know. Am I keeping it together?
It doesn't feel like it, I'm sure, at times, but.
I think it's just, I think I am blessed to be able to work at what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and we relate on this, like we, you know, we both had a passion for the arts, dance, you know. Dance is my first love. So it was that drive to become a dancer and work for, you know, the artists that, mm-hmm. you know, we got the opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, icons. You know, you wanted to work for the Madonnas, you wanted to work for the Princes. And I got that opportunity to work with a lot of icons of our generation. And that was like that childhood dream. But then you have to continue to evolve. And I think the segues have been what have been, I guess, kind of natural, mm-hmm. in a way. Like, I think we think a lot, like, well, you go from dancer And you always hear as, what are you going to do after you dance? Like, people think your career is going to be done when you're
right
25. But,
which is a joke.
Which, that's a whole nother.
Because it's just.
It goes on.
Yeah, because I feel like just at 25, you know, you're just figuring out, you know, kind of like as a career, like mm-hmm. that you've, you know, you've kind of made it, so yeah. to speak, right? At least for dancers, right? Unless you're a kid dancer. But like, really, like, it was really in our 20s that we were, you
well, know, that's when you're like, you're
which feeling, was only yesterday.
Yeah, like, you know, a few years ago. You know, you're feeling right. it out. I think, right. yeah, you get into it. And, but it's funny about this industry, or I think as dancers, especially yeah. when you're in the entertainment industry, I saw a lot of dancers as soon as they became dancers and they got on set and they were behind an artist. It was like they wanted to move into that next thing. Mm-hmm. So you do have to look ahead. And I think in looking ahead, it was, okay, what is the next? What are some of my other desires in this arena? And it was choreographing. So I started assisting choreographers, Michael Rooney, Mickey Rooney's son.
Yeah.
You know,
I love Michael Rooney.
I love Michael Rooney too. He was the first person that I assisted, and I learned a lot working with him. And that segued into my, you know, choreographic career. But I also wanted to act. And there came a point as a dancer where I think it felt like, it wasn't enough that childhood desire to dance behind artists. I think I had fulfilled that. Mm. And it was, I wanted to feel like I wanted to use more of myself
mm-hmm.
and be, you know, if you think of yourself as an instrument, like I had other songs that I wanted to play. So, I started venturing more into acting, and I was lucky enough to audition for this show called Noah's Ark, which was at the time Logo, which is a Viacom network, was looking for new content. And I had auditioned for Noah's Ark prior to it being on Logo. And it was an experimental pilot, which eventually became a show on Logo. And Logo was a gay and lesbian network. Mm-hmm. And Noah's Ark was the first Black gay TV series. And so it was kind of like a pioneer show in a sense. And I give credit, not just because I'm in it, but I think to all the actors that took part in it, they're kind of pioneers and brave mm-hmm. because it was at a time where, you know, being on a show like that was, you know, could have been considered by some as career suicide if you want to right. be an actor. But, at, you know, I think all of us, we wanted to act. You know, and we were given, I was given, I'll speak for myself, given an opportunity. And that show led to me starting to audition for other shows and get other jobs. But I'm going to, yeah, it led to me getting other jobs. So it was over the years, like getting other shows, even to the point where I was surprised that I became, you know, a lead in a Hallmark movie. And one of the, actually that year was the first time I think they had Black leads.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What year was that?
2018.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think I was one of the first Black leads in a Hallmark movie. Wow.
Do you feel like, you know, now, and even then maybe when mm-hmm. you were doing Noah's Ark, you had like this responsibility to kind of portray yourself or portray the character, right? Mm-hmm. Because it was so important if it was like a first black mm-hmm. gay TV show, mm-hmm. You know, portray the characters a certain way, like for you. Did you feel like that was a responsibility?
I think if you're the first at doing something, especially when you are representing a minority, mm-hmm. That there isn't a lot of representation at all, positive, negative, you do feel an obligation to do justice to the character. And some people may think you did, some people may, you know, there's always gonna be different opinions. Some people will like it, some people won't. It's this, it's not enough of this, we need more of this. It's at the end of the day, all you can do is what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And an opportunity was presented, and I wanted, you know, you just want to be as authentic as possible. And I think at that point it was like I was still a fledgling in a way in the industry, especially in that part of the industry. So what I feel proud in the fact that there were people at that time that would come up to me and say, you know, you were the first, you know, show that I could relate to or I saw myself in. And that, you know, a lot of people tell me how they used to hide the DVDs under their bed because they didn't want their mama or their daddy to find it. But it was the first time that some people saw themselves. And I think for all of us, it doesn't matter what race you are. I think when you can see yourself in the media in a light that you feel is positive or in a light that you can relate with, it's affirming. So I think for that reason, I'm proud of that. And I'm also, I think proud in the fact that at that time I just did it.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people wouldn't have. And
they might have second guessed it.
Or they wouldn't do it. I remember there were people that would not do it. And there were people that to this day, some people could think it was could think it's a mistake. But for my trajectory and for my life, it was the right thing for me to do. And I'm glad I did. And after all these years, I can say that, you know, it's out there that there is a reboot of it.
Nice.
That should be coming out soon.
Nice.
And hopefully it is fulfilling to, you know, the fans that liked it. Maybe there'll be some new fans. And, you know, for those who don't, then, you know.
You heard it here first.
I don't know if it's first, but it's out there.
Right. You know? And I, you know, I've seen when you've posted about the show and you put some of the comments of what people say that were real fans of the show and followed you on the show and the other actors, that you really touched people's lives in that sense. Like, you know, you portrayed me, you know, positively is kind of how people kind of have taken it. And I, you know, that's always great to hear and see that there's somebody that has had this like positive impact, right? On a community that sometimes is
marginalized,
you know, marginalized and, you know, talked down about, right? Always. Mm-hmm. And so that's always great to kind of see and feel. Now, kind of moving forward with someone who has been a huge advocate for the LGBTQ community, which is Madonna, right? And you went on tour with her. You also were in the Tell Me music video as well. What was it like, you know, kind of being with someone? Is there something that you felt like in working with her, you kind of took away from that you were like, you know, I learned this kind of thing about that, because that's such a huge artist, you know. And I've had Kevin stay on the show, which, you know, he was with her kind of the kind of decade. We love Kevin. hi, Kevin Stay. But, you know, he was with her, you know, kind of the generation before you.
That was a generation I was inspired by, because I remember being in Canada, in high school, like watching the Blind Ambition Tour and knowing the dancers, you know, Kevin, knowing them by name. And, you know, that was like that manifestation, that dream was like, oh, I want to one day dance for her because of her artistry, her creativity. So when you say getting that job was, it was fulfilling that childhood dream. I remember being in my car after getting it, and I got in my car and I called my parents and I was like, I got it.
You know, you
broke. And it was like, I think that I remember, I got it. You know, but it was like, I was determined. And thanks to choreographer, creative director, Jamie King.
Jamie King. We love Jamie. Yeah. We always talk about Jamie and we love Jamie. Hi, Jamie.
I think he has a really good eye for talent. And
he does.
Getting it was amazing. The experience, it was doing the music video, being one of four guys that were chosen for the music video. We filmed Don't Tell Me. You're getting, you know, at the time, I'm a 20-something, and you're getting dressed in, you know, by D-Squared. And
we love D-Squared.
Yeah, D-Squared, you know, and then do the video and with her. And then we did the promo tour. And that was the first time I had gone to, it was... Rome and
nice.
I forget.
You get to Rome, go to these Paris, fabulous places.
Yeah. No, when you forget, like, I think when you're really a baby, you take for granted a lot of, and when I go back and I think, oh yeah, I went to Rome and Milan and all that, Dancing for Madonna, and we did the different like Italian TV shows, and it was an amazing experience. Then going to do the Grammys, and then finally we had to re-audition to be on the world tour, and I was her dance captain for the Drowned World Tour. Mm-hmm. And what did I learn from that? I learned overall, what do I think? She's a smart woman. She's a smart woman. She knew if somebody's, you know, Jamie, someone's costume, the button or, you know, she would know like
details.
the minute details about things that were going on stage. So perfectionist, smart woman.
And that's like business acumen at that point, right? Like it's her show, it's her name, it's her face, it's her music. You know, at that point, it's kind of like just to me, kind of outside looking in, mm-hmm. it's like, you're a businesswoman at that point because you know what's off. Something is off and she could pick up on it, right?
But she's obvious. I mean, to do what she's doing and for as long as she's been doing, it takes tenacity mm-hmm. and I'd say intelligence. So
smarts, yeah.
Yeah, I was just, I just admired the intelligence, mm-hmm. I think, in that scenario. Mm-hmm.
And we met when
that was one of my first jobs. Yeah,
working for Prince.
Yeah,
you know, in Minnesota, at
Chanhassen, Minnesota.
Don't you know? You know, and working out of Paisley. You were there with me.
Yeah,
at Paisley in those rehearsal studios.
Miss Melody Cool.
Yeah, Shakadelica. No,
we had to name ourselves after.
Yeah.
You know, for your listeners,
per his approval,
after one of his songs. So yes. You chose
Melody Cool. Well, they chose
you. I chose my own. Who chose Melody?
Well, I think we had input.
I chose. I said what I wanted.
But final approval.
Oh, maybe it was.
Yeah. Final. Yeah. Sure. I could have been like, call me Seven.
I was Thunder.
Throwing
around all this
hair.
All this. It was a mess.
Honey, anyway. She was giving.
It was a mess.
She was giving her.
Yes, it was. It was.
When you had long hair. But, you know, that I remember that. And I see some of our kind of behind the scenes pictures and footage of us, you know, living. I had never been to Minnesota. I had never thought in a million years I would have worked with Prince and that I would be working out at Paisley.
I did.
I never thought.
But don't you think, like, I think I truly believe in. That was the reason, like, when I would be home as a kid and all the award shows would come on in the days of music videos, mm-hmm. it was like, I want to work with her. I want to work with him.
Yeah.
So.
See, that was Michael Jackson for me, or Janet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that
Janet
was those.
Was one,
yeah, though. Janet and Michael were the ones. Prince, I just was like, I don't know if I'd ever get hired. You know what I mean? I don't know. I never thought that. And to think, and then to be there. And then I remember seeing him walking down the hallway and just being too scared to like look at him in the face because I thought they were gonna like fire me. So I just remember just like always seeing his shoes mm-hmm. with the little symbol.
He was the hair, everything with the outfits. It was
one of the most prettiest people I have seen on this mm-hmm. planet, you know, and just his aura, right? So mm-hmm. like being back then, like thinking back now and just being like, wow, what a legend.
And we got to. And I think, you know, after his death or during, you know, right after his death. And then, you know, you take stock of like, oh, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I actually, he took us into the recording studio to record Raspberry Beret.
Yeah,
we were in
his recording studio,
his presence. And we had the opportunity to experience, you know, one of. Another icon, one of
we performed on
the greatest
his stage.
Musicians. Yeah,
yeah, we performed on his stage behind him. I remember that moment, and I will for the rest of my like.
Weren't we partners? Yes, we
yes,
were.
We were partner, and I. And
you
okay,
knocked, yeah,
true
you
story.
Knocked me upside the head.
True story. This was. I was nervous. I was dancing behind Prince. What did I know? And Christian and I were dance partners, and I didn't. Tuck in my arm. I was spinning. He was spinning me or something. I didn't tuck in my arm quick enough. And I clocked him on his brow. And we're on stage and he starts bleeding. Literally, and I was like, oh my God. I thought it was his makeup at first. And I was like, great makeup. And then I was like, oh my God, you're bleeding. And You just, I remember you being like, just keep going, just keep going. And I was like, but you're bleeding. And like all the other dancers were like, you look great. Like, they, you know, and not realizing what was going on. And to this day, I'm like, I'll never live that down.
Yeah.
Ever.
It's all right.
You know, you have a scar now.
Forever. I do.
But you know,
it's, you know,
it was done in love.
It gives me more character.
Right? It does give you more character, mm-hmm. and nobody can see it. But, you know, I think that was just like a moment that we all grew as artists too, right? Because it was at that point for me that I was like, I made it.
It's funny. I don't know if I ever thought. I remember being on that tour. He's like, one of my first jobs. Yeah, I'm dancing for Prince. And we're in, you know, we did the tour and then the tour ended and I got back to LA. And then you think, I just danced for Prince and you're going to get all the gigs. Oh,
nope.
I have to go back to
audition.
I have to go and audition yeah. and figure
it out.
Which reminds me of like, that was one of my first jobs, which when I got back to LA, that's when I had to figure out, okay, what is this that I am selling? Like, what mm-hmm. is it? Because you're basically like a product. You are a product. Mm-hmm. So that's when I realized, oh, these are the guys who are working. Like I look like at a Kevin Stay or mm-hmm. at that time. I was like, oh, I guess I need to cut this hair off so I can book a gig.
The Prince hair.
Yeah.
You cut the Prince hair off.
But it was many years of those kind of experiences that, you know, you feel very fortunate. Mm-hmm. And it would be remiss of me to say, not to say, because I think it's really important. You mentioned that I'm a choreographer, actor, but I'm also an educator. Mm-hmm. And I think it has been, you know, if there are ever any young kids that hear me speak, it's like, I think my education has been the thing that has saved my butt many mm-hmm. times because I've always taught. I mean, I've taught on dance conventions for years. I've taught master classes for years. I was a professor at USC. You know, went back and got my master's so I could be a professor.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to just put that in there because that aspect, and I will say this, and I say this to kids all the time, I think it was because of my education, that's why I got my Emmy nomination, because if it hadn't been for that, and the things that I knew and gained from...
going to school.
Getting my master's and information I knew about, historically about dance, which I knew when I would go into certain interviews... that I could spout off to get a job.
Yeah.
Especially when you're doing pieces and work that are historically based, like a Madam C.J. Walker or a show like The Porter. There, you have to know the context of the era and what was going on historically and the movements that were, and it's not just, if you can look, up the Charleston online and you'll see what was a version, but it will not have been the version that Black folks were doing in the early 1920s.
Right.
Like the original forms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just put that out there that education has really, truly, I think, been a blessing for me.
Yeah, having something to fall back on.
Well, it's not even fall back. Yeah, if you fall back, like, it's been my foundation.
Yeah, that, yeah. I think education is important, and I think same thing. I went back to school when I stopped touring and dancing, and as much as I had fulfilled that part of my life or mm-hmm. my career, being able to have a degree to me meant something. I saw single parent home. I grew up my mom seeing her go to school and how important that was. Right? Do you feel like, from everything that you've learned, like now, like is there another shift? Like, is there something that you haven't done that you're like, ooh, I would like to kind of maybe explore that? Just whether that's from a creative standpoint, because you come, like, your mom is very creative in that sense, and you know, how important was that for you, kind of in deciding, like, oh, I want to be a dancer, or I want to move into acting, or was she just always like super supportive?
My mother always introduced me. I put it this way. She always has introduced me to beauty and creativity and things that were intelligent. Like, she would take us to go see musicals, and she put me in tap dancing because she liked the way, you know, she loved to watch Gregory Hines. So it's these things that you introduce your children to, you know, your child will find an affinity. So my mother is, I would say, if not my biggest inspiration, she's like my biggest inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by her, int- her introducing me to things that were positive and beautiful, and that it made me look at those things and I latched onto them. And if it weren't for her, I don't think I would have been in this career. Not that she, true transparency, I don't think she necessarily wanted me to be in this industry.
Right.
Initially as a dancer. And I've said this numerous times. My parents always, you know, supported me. But this was a scary industry for them to see their son go into, because, you know, my dad was a pharmacist, my mother was a nurse and a hairdresser, you know, also another, she was creative in that respect. So I think they knew, you know, being a person of color, it's like, get your education so you can get a job that can be lasting
sustainable.
Like, go to medical school, go to, you know. And had I not fallen in love with dance, that might have been the route that I had taken. But dance took me down this path, and I've continued to go with it. And as far as things that I would like to do, you're saying in the future, there's a lot that I would like to do. I think when you say made it, I've had a full career. I always like to feel like, okay, I'm blessed, and not discount what I've done, but there's still a lot more that I want to do. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really for me to figure out how to do it, as opposed to waiting for someone to say, for someone to be like, pick me,
right,
like me, like
the, that's having, the only, right, having that, the impetus.
That part, I'm like over that part.
Doing it yourself versus you know, independently.
Versus like, I have to, you know, look the right way, I have to sound the right way, or, you know,
versus just being yourself.
Just being yourself, which I've always known some people will like you for that, and some people won't.
No.
And I will focus.
And that's on, okay.
And that's okay.
And I don't know where I'm looking. That's okay.
But that's okay.
And do you feel, because growing up in Canada, you know, and not growing up in a big city, right? In that sense.
No.
Right? Did that, you think, influence your mom's kind of take, or your parents' take on the industry? And what was it that, like, versus?
No. I don't think, no. No, because my mother, when she was young, she's from Hamtramck, Michigan. So she went and she sang at Motown for a moment.
Oh, nice.
And she knew a little bit.
Did she put out a record?
No, they had her, I don't know. I'm probably not going to say the right thing. But I think she was doing like a demo or demos.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say who told her this, but someone.
Ooh.
I'm not going to. But they said she wasn't hungry enough. Ooh. And she said I wasn't. She said I was not hungry enough. I don't think she wanted to do all the things that needed to be done at that time to get certain jobs.
And as we see the industry and the state that it's in now. So we'll just leave it at that.
But, I don't know, but I think she we used to sit up and watch award shows. I think that's what made me love. Like, we watched award shows, and I think that's where I got my love for all of this. So yeah. I don't think because I was from a small town that I don't think that had anything to do with it.
We
were right across the border from Detroit, so there was a little bit more there. I mean,
do you feel like that influenced you too, like being able to just kind of cross the border, the border in that sense, and like you're in the States now, and like you, because you still teach there, right?
Don't I
you
still go back there, and I teach.
And I'm sure that influenced you too, knowing your mom was.
I love Detroit. Yeah, I love. Yeah. I have a special. Detroit is almost like home, although I was born in Windsor, and Windsor is home. There's a special connection there. It's kind of where I grew up. It was being in Canada, but on a border city, it was different than living, let's say, further into Canada, or not in a border city, let's just put it that way, because most of our television back then was all American.
Right.
So,
and you're right across the border.
And we were heavily influenced by American TV. We had American commercials. So it was kind of like living in the United States, but not. So it does definitely, the media shapes the way we think. So definitely having access to U.S. television and not solely Canadian television during my formative years had a big impact on, you know.
Did you get to train in Detroit too?
Yeah, I started.
And you still teach there.
And I still go and teach there, but I trained in Windsor. And as I got older, I went and we crossed the border. My parents would drive me like 2 hours sometimes to get to Lascaux School of Ballet. And we would do, I'd do the Nutcracker at the Fox Theater every year. Oh, nice. If you're from Detroit, you remember the Nutcracker that was at the Fox with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra.
Well, Fox Theater is pretty well known. Yeah.
So that was a big part of, you know, every time I cross that border and you go downtown Detroit, it's like all these memories flood to me about driving over there during the holiday. And like, not just during the holidays, but holidays to do Nutcracker. A lot of my family is still there.
Yeah.
My mother's side. So,
yeah, it's good to see that the city's having a rejuvenation in that sense. Yeah. It's being revived in that sense. So it's great to see. You know, and there's something I always kind of touch upon on every episode, which is, you know, what's it like when it comes to, or actually feedback you'd have for any upcoming, you know, performer or somebody that's just a creative, right? I don't want to just stick to performers, that says, you know, what would you say in wanting to stay in a race of their own? There are moments we go up the hill, down the hill, we plateau, we have those tumbleweed moments, right? What would be a piece of advice you would give them in saying, you know, when you find yourself in those moments, this is what I did. This is kind of what worked for me.
There's so much I could say about if you're looking to have longevity in this, you know, this, we're talking about entertainment. I think I can only speak from my experience, and I said this already, my foundation was that you just try and make sure that you have as many skills as possible for the area that you want to go into, whatever that means to you. For me, it was my education. I think you have to have a strong love and like for yourself. Because I think that can be tested in this industry, because I think a lot of creatives or artists can doubt themselves and maybe based on other people's opinions of you, maybe not like themselves as much. So I think however you can find, pull strength, whether it be from family, from your spirituality, to keep your head on straight and do what you love. And if you just kind of have to keep going. Mm-hmm. And I think there is for everyone, you have to, I'm not going to say reinvent yourself, but it's going to wind. You're not going to always be as successful doing the exact same thing. So for me, I started as a dancer. I knew I was not going to be a dancer until I was 80 years old. So I'm going to have to switch and figure out, oh, I like doing this too, in conjunction with dance. And with especially like if we're talking specifically about dancers, it's like there are so many different avenues in dance that you can be in, and until you're 80. Because I worked with choreographers that were 80 some years old in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And this one choreographer said to me, he's no longer here, but his name was Donald McHale. He said, I tell people that there is a place for everyone in dance. You know, basically you just have to find it. So in the entertainment industry or your whatever it is that you love to do, it's like there is a place for you. You just have to find it. And I think be creative and be smart and keep this healthy.
Yes, mental health is important.
Yeah.
And there was one point I didn't even touch on, one of your credits, which is you also choreographed Lifetime's biopic on Salt-N-Pepa.
Yeah.
You know, and what was it like? Did you get to work directly with Salt-N-Pepa?
They were, so I got to work on, I was hired to choreograph the Salt-N-Pepa biopic. And like I was saying earlier, I've had the opportunity to work on, I think what things that are historically significant to American culture and Black culture, like Madam C.J. Walker, Salt-N-Pepa, the Porter. So Salt-N-Pepa, they were there on set. They were overseeing what was going on.
I love them.
Mero Van Peebles was a director.
Oh, nice.
So he was like another, like as an icon that, you know.
Why didn't I realize that?
Yeah, he was a director.
Oh, that's great.
So it was like, you know, that kid in you comes up when you see something. Oh, you're like, oh, that.
Yeah, because he's inspirational. Yeah. He was like one of the first people I watched, and he would direct. I mean, he was acting, but he was directing and creating projects. So to create an avenue for you, and then you're choreographing with him too.
So it was great. I loved the actors, the leads. They were, I'm still friends with them to this day. It was a lot of work, but great. All I can say is overall, appreciate the work.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Christian, for being here. Noah's Ark, hopefully we'll stay tuned and see it coming up soon, hopefully in 2025. And, you know, I just appreciate our friendship. We've known each other forever and for a long time. And thank you for like all of your feedback. You know, if there's anything I can say, I mean, if there's resilience is like you to me, you're like one of the people in my life that I can see over and over again, just always like no matter what happens, just keeps kind of pushing through. So
trying.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, Virg.
Yes, of course. So again, I'm Virgie Rodriguez for A Race of Your Own. Please subscribe, leave us your comments, ask some questions, follow us, let us know how you feel, and stay tuned for more. Peace.